We look this evening at God's Word as we have it in the fifth chapter of John's Gospel, and I want to speak on the verses from 24 through to 29, and there'll be three particular truths from these verses that I want to speak on. 2 weeks ago, I was preaching on 1 Kings chapter 13, and there in that Old Testament chapter, we came across an old prophet who lived at Bethel, and he was an unreliable prophet. Sometimes he spoke the truth. Sometimes he was compelled by God to speak the words of God, and sometimes he lied. He was an unreliable prophet. You couldn't be sure that what that man was saying was really true. Tonight I want to speak on the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, found here in John chapter 5. And of course we know that all of the words of the Lord Jesus are reliable. But you'll have noticed, I'm sure, that there are times in the Gospels where Jesus emphasizes the importance of something that he is going to say. Sometimes he introduces what he's going to say by a little phrase that stresses the seriousness of this particular teaching. And you find that here in what we read in John chapter 5. It's there in verse 19. The New King James has there Jesus saying in the middle of that verse, "Most assuredly, I say to you." And then in verse 24, that verse begins with Jesus saying, "Most assuredly, I say to you." Verse 25 also begins, "Most assuredly, I say to you." In the King James Version, that's where it's translated, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." The ESV has, "Truly, truly, I say to you." If there was such a thing as the traditional Irish version of the Scriptures, it would probably be, to be sure, I say to you," because that's what it means. Jesus wants us to be absolutely sure about these things, to be in no doubt whatsoever about what he says. And I want to focus this evening on three things that Jesus teaches that are sure things. And the first one is here in verse 24, where Jesus speaks about everlasting life. He says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." And here we are told that we are to be in no doubt, that there is a message that people must hear. There is a message that people must believe if they want to have everlasting life. And hearing this message and believing this message makes all the difference between whether a person has everlasting life or doesn't have everlasting life. The message that must be heard and the message that must be believed is the message of Christ. It is what Jesus taught, and it is the message about himself as being the very Savior that sinners like us need. What happens when a person hears and believes the word of Christ? Well, Jesus tells us in verse 24, "Most assuredly," that anyone and everyone who believes in Christ has everlasting life, and they shall not come into judgment because they have already passed from the realm of death into the realm of life. Now, what a great verse That is John 5, verse 24. That's a great verse to remember. Great truth of Jesus. And Jesus tells us most assuredly, here is something that you can hold on to. What great hope there is in this verse. What great assurance there is in this verse. All who believe in Christ, by believing in Christ, have already entered into everlasting life. For those people, there shall be no condemnation. The NIV puts it that they have crossed over from death to life. And I like that picture of having crossed over from death to life. That's a picture that that I can relate to. Just over 27 years ago, on a horrible, dark, wet November evening, Jennifer and I got into our little blue Vauxhall Nova, parked outside our little house in Mossley, and we drove to Larne to get the boat across to Scotland. We crossed over the Irish Sea, and we travelled north as far as Wishaw, and we went there to a big, empty manse. And within a week, the moving in was all done. The service of ordination and induction, as they call it in Scotland, took place on a very wet Friday night. The first Lord's Day, where I was preaching morning and evening as the minister in Wishaw RP Church, was passed. And at the beginning of that week, everybody left. All who had been over for a wee while to help us settle in, they were all away. They all went down south, down to Larne or Cairnryan, and they crossed over back to where they came from, and we didn't. And I knew then that we had crossed over, that we were on the other side, and that all that had been there as a feature of our life up until then, that wasn't there anymore. And now we were on the other side. And so much had changed. The people we were surrounded with were totally different. And I'm thankful for the people in Wishaw that helped us and made us welcome at that time. But I knew that we had crossed over. And this is the picture that Jesus gives to us. For all who hear and who believe in Christ, they have crossed over. They have crossed over from death to life. They have left behind all that used to be true of them, and they have entered in to that which is new. And that is, as it is, an entirely good crossing to make. It's a crossing from death to life. And the life that you cross to is everlasting life. And it's a life that's entered into straight away. You don't have to wait for a time for your case to be considered and for a ruling to be given. It's not like applying for asylum or anything like that. No, Jesus says that he who believes has everlasting life. The new believer belongs. The new believer belongs on the side they have crossed over to. And those who have been saved are granted by God the assurance that we have indeed become the children of God, that we belong where we now are by the grace of God. We have passed from death into life. And Jesus tells us these things most assuredly. We are to be absolutely sure about this, that those who believe in Christ have everlasting life. They shall not come into judgment. They'll not be condemned because they have passed from death. They have left that behind, and they have passed into life, and they will always have that life because it is everlasting life. So the first sure thing here is what Jesus teaches about everlasting life. It's a great thing to have crossed over from death to life. The second sure thing that Jesus speaks about is in verse 25. And here he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." Now, what you have in verse 24, in a sense, is the theory. In theory, the situation is that anyone who hears and believes in Christ will enter into everlasting life. But that is only truly good news if there are people who are going to hear and who are going to believe. And here in verse 25, we are told most assuredly that there are. It's not just a nice theory. It's not just that in theory people can be saved, but we are assured in verse 25 that in practice people will be saved. It had already started to happen, and it would continue to happen. And Jesus is speaking here about something that had already begun. He says the hour is coming, and he says, and now is. And Jesus refers here to something that will continue throughout this present age, as long as this present age lasts. The hour is coming, and now it already is. If you look down a few verses, you'll see in verse 28, he also says, the hour is coming. But he doesn't say, and now is. Because what you have in verse 28 is something beyond this age. That's a future thing. But what he's talking about in verse 25 belongs in this age. And so the hour is coming, and now is. And what Jesus says is happening in this present age is that the dead are hearing the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. Now here, he is not speaking about people who were physically dead. He is speaking about people who were spiritually dead. And all of us are born spiritually dead. And Jesus is saying that at that present time, already, people born spiritually dead were hearing the voice of the Son of God, and some of them were living. Some of them were entering into everlasting life. It had begun in the days of Jesus, and it would continue on. It's an hour that's coming, and now is. The Lord Jesus Christ has the power to give life to those who are spiritually dead. People who are dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 26 tells us that the Lord Jesus has life in himself. Jesus has life, and he has life-giving power. And that life-giving power is going to mean that as long as this present age continues, there will be those who will hear the gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they will live. They will hear it, they will believe it, and they will receive everlasting life. They will cross over from death into life, and they will know that they have been saved. Jesus tells us most assuredly that this is the way it's going to be. And many of us here tonight are living proof that what Jesus said is indeed true. We could testify, many of us, that we didn't always believe, but there came a time when the Lord spoke to us and he gave us life from the dead. And Christ is going to continue to do that. We don't know in advance for any particular person when they might really hear the gospel and when they might really believe and live. But we know that for as long as this world continues, people are going to hear and people are going to be believing and be made alive by the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us most assuredly that this is the way it is going to be. And as long as we're living in the days of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ will keep on seeking and saving those who are lost. And so Jesus tells us that we are to have confidence in the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are to have confidence in Jesus Christ as the Savior of sinners. People are going to hear the voice of the Son of God. And Jesus says, those who hear will live. Those who hear will live. They will pass from death into life because of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has life in himself. He has life to give to those that he came to save. And so Jesus tells us most assuredly that the gospel will succeed. We are to be sure of everlasting life, and we are to be sure of gospel success. Well, then the third thing I want to speak about from this little section, from verse 24 to 29, that we can be sure of is something that lies in the future. And it's what Jesus speaks of in verses 27 through to 29. And he's speaking here about the coming resurrection. Jesus, we're told, in verse 27, he has been given authority to execute judgment. And we're told in verse 28 that the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice. Jesus Christ, when he returns at the end of the age, he will summon all from their graves. Everyone who has lived and died will hear his voice. All will come forth. And they will come forth to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be the judge of all. And Jesus tells us what will happen on that day. He says, those who have done good will come forth to the resurrection of life, verse 29. And he says that those who have done evil will come forth to the resurrection of condemnation. And so the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be sure that just as we believe that people will continue to hear the gospel and there will be those who will believe unto everlasting life, he wants us also to believe that that time is not going to last forever. But it will all come to an end, and Christ will return. There will be a final day of judgment, and the resurrection accompanies that. Jesus Christ is the judge himself, and the judge tells us what we're to expect on the day of judgment. And what the Lord Jesus teaches here in these few words about what is to come, it is different from what many people in our day like to believe about these things. Think about some of the ways in which what Christ says here is different from what people like to believe. There are some who like to convince themselves that there is no existence beyond the grave, that there is no such thing as life after death, that there is this life and that's it. And that's what the humanists, for example, want to believe. But Jesus assures us that all who are in their graves will hear his voice. Sadly, there are those who take their own lives in the false belief that that's the end of everything, the end of existence, but it's not. And so we're to believe what Christ teaches. There are others who choose to nurture the lie that there is nothing to fear beyond this present life. And they say that if there is life after death, there will certainly be no punishment in life after death. They say that that God, if he exists, he is a God who is too loving to punish anyone. And they would say that there's enough punishment in this present life, and there is no more beyond this present life. Well, Jesus didn't believe that. And Jesus didn't go to the cross believing that. Jesus believed that he was saving sinners from eternal punishment. And our Lord teaches plainly those realities. Some of those who believe that there is life after death for some do not believe that there is life after death for all. They hold that those who do not enter into what Jesus calls the resurrection of life, that those people will be condemned to non-existence, that they will simply be no more. And that, in a sense, will be their punishment. They will miss out on what Christ brings for his people. But they will be gone, and they will be gone forever, and those who don't exist can't suffer. Well, again, that is not what Jesus believed and taught. In Matthew 25, verse 30, Jesus speaks about what is to come in the judgment, and he talks about the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you have to have existence for there to be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus teaches in verse 46 of that same chapter that there is everlasting destruction for those who are classified as being the goats. In Mark chapter 9, our Lord speaks clearly and plainly about hell. He quotes from the end of Isaiah chapter 66, and he refers to where it speaks of the place where the fire shall never be quenched, where their worm does not die, and the fire is not quenched. That is what our Lord held to. He believed that there was a resurrection to life, and he believed also that there was a resurrection of condemnation. We need to believe what Christ believed. He is the judge. The judge should know. And then again, there are those whose hope of a resurrection unto life is not the same hope as the hope that Jesus holds out here in these words in verse 29. Some people's hope of resurrection unto life is